You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Your Name is in the Wind by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Genesis 41, starting at verse 12. Trying to eliminate as much reading as I can. Drop down to verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him in, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I've dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it. I've heard say of thee. I hear people talking about you. I've heard about you. That thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer. He interprets the dream, lets him know that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of dearth or famine. And what you need to do for the first 7 years is to prepare for the next 7 years. And it caused Egypt to not go through an economic depression because of the word of God that came to a man who had God's ear. Are you hearing me? And Pharaoh said unto his servants, verse 38, Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the spirit of God is? I believe when we show up, people ought to see the spirit of God in us. They may not know all about the Spirit of God. They may not be able to define it. They may not be able to articulate it. But they recognize that there's something special about us that they haven't seen in other people. Amen. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. Meaning when it says discreet here, it means know to the detail of what to do. Wise in how to do things is what that means. And wise as thou art, thou shalt be over my house. According unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Again, for the sake of illustrating and emphasizing this message, Pharaoh says to Joseph in Genesis 41 and verse 15, I have heard say of thee. I have heard say of thee. And I want to continue today what I started yesterday, and that is your name is in the wind. Look at somebody, tell them your name is in the wind. I have heard say of thee. I'm sure Joseph by now is shocked that Pharaoh knows anything about him. He had asked the butler, who had given the interpretation of the dream, to when you get back in your position next to Pharaoh, can you please tell him about me? Tell him about my situation. Tell him about how I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, buked, scorned, talked about just as sure as your bone. I've been up, down, almost level to the ground. Can you please tell Pharaoh about my situation? And the butler forgot Pharaoh. The butler forgot Joseph for 2 years. And then finally he remembers him. I could have had a V8. A light bulb comes on. When I was in prison, there was this guy down there who gave me interpretation of a dream, and perhaps he can help you, and he was sent for. So we're looking at this context here of Joseph as the backdrop for the principles and this prophetic word that I believe the Lord wants me to give those of you who are here at Direction for Life conferences, because among the promises that God gave Abraham was that I will make your name great. I will make your name great. And other translation says, I will make your name distinguished and I will make you famous. Know what makes you famous? I'm going to tell you what here, the real characteristics of famous is when people know you and you don't know them. Look your neighbor, say, I'm famous too. I'm famous too. That's one of the things. Okay. That's how you know you're famous. When people know you and you don't know them. It's a weird thing though, y'all, because some people, they know you, but you don't. And so you got to be careful because you can't cuss around when people know you, but you don't know them. Pastor Marshall and I, sometimes we're in restaurants and we see people that I'll generally try to get a seat somewhere across by ourselves from anybody who look like they might know us. And you sit us somewhere else from the people who look like they might know us, because we just want to have a private conversation. And every now and then, we see somebody just staring. That's how you know you're famous. They just staring. They just staring. And famous is relative. It's relative. Okay? Some people are more famous than others. But God said, watch this, I will bless you, make your name great. I will give you, watch this, influence with people you don't even know. I'll make your name great with people you don't even know. I will cause people to like you who you don't even know. That's one of the blessings of the promises of God on your life. And in order to do that, God will put your name in the wind. And we saw that Jesus' whole ministry was based upon God putting his name in the wind. Who was the most famous of the disciples? Thank you, mother. Peter. Our Catholic brother and sister tell us he was the first pope. He was really the most noted of the disciples. But did you know he wasn't the first one? The first disciple was Andrew. Andrew was Peter's brother. Some of y'all, who Andrew? You don't even know who Andrew is. Andrew was one of Jesus' disciples. And Andrew met Jesus. And Andrew went and told Peter about Jesus. And come on, and brought Peter to Jesus. The only reason why Peter came to Jesus is because Jesus' name was in the wind through Andrew. When God puts your name in the wind with people, you'll have influence with people. People come to you who can be a great blessing to you, and you had nothing to do with it. Are y'all listening to me? Woman with the issue of blood, she came to Jesus because she heard of Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus never saw Jesus because he was blind Bartimaeus. And y'all get that revelation later. He never saw Jesus, but he heard that Jesus was around. His name was in the wind and he started calling out to him. The centurion who asked Jesus to heal his servant, and then he sent message to Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he said, you don't have to come, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. He had never encountered Jesus before, but he heard about Jesus. So we said, in order for God to put your name in the wind, look at your neighbor and say, he's reviewing because all y'all wasn't here. Tell him he was. All right, glad you're here. But in order for God to put your name in the wind, number one, we said your name needs to be good, because a good name resides above riches. So you need to have a good name if God's going to put your name in the wind. Okay? I didn't add this here, but can I tell you that a credit report, all that is a score of your name. People take it very lightly, but a credit score, all it is a score about your name. If I do business with you, if I loan you money, if I give you an opportunity, is your word good and will you pay me back? And all of us, we may have issues and problems and have come through things and have economic downturns and all those kind of things. But you got to do what you got to do to make it right. Amen. So credit is not something you should take lightly, because it is a score on your name. And God forbid if you name your child after you. Because now you can mess up your name and mess up their name. Secondly, we said that if God's going to put your name in the wind, you need to represent him well. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. 1 Peter 2:9, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We are to represent him in the earth. We are to represent him in the earth. I'm very conscious of who I put in this pulpit to even make an announcement. Okay, I've told, and thank God I have no issues. Have no issues with Minister Sean, but I told past music directors. I said, I know they can sing, but before you put them up there, check with me, because I may know something beyond their voice. Everybody didn't listen, because just because you got talent, don't mean you got character. And your talent will take you to places that your character will get you knocked out of. Your talent will take you to a level that your character won't be able to sustain you. So you need to represent him well. Thirdly, we said that God doesn't want you to take any of his glory. He'll put your name in the wind, but he wants you to give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the credit. Amen? And so we said in this season, I believe that God is putting names and new names in the wind. Hallelujah. Just because your name hasn't been in the wind up until now, don't mean it won't be in the wind after now. Hallelujah. So number one, we said you need to be prepared. To quote my son, I don't know if it's a quote from somebody else, but my son said this, a basketball player. He said, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Somebody said, well, but you're not there yet. No, I got to stay ready. Because the call can come any minute. And I can't be talking about let me get in shape. That's how some of y'all when trials come up. What's that script again? You start quoting stuff that ain't scripture. Let me see. If you take one step, here come two. Take two. Where's that at? That ain't in the word. May not come when you want them, buddy. That ain't in the word either. Look at your neighbor and say, stay ready. We said you got to know how to present yourself. When Joseph was called, he shaved and changed his clothes. And even in this day of everybody being casual, let me tell you something. Appearance still matters. Appearance still matters. Ask any salesman if appearance matters. A salesman is taught to check you out and to kind of assess whether you're serious about buying or not. Every now and then they mess up, because you can't always judge a book by its cover. But people size you up based upon physical appearance. Well, they shouldn't do that, but they're man, aren't they? And man looks at the, God looks at the heart, but man looks at the outward appearance. So just because you're casual don't mean you need to be sloppy. Just because you're natural, you don't have to be. You can still be orderly. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Joseph shaved himself and changed his raiment because he knows when I go before the king, I need to look a certain way. Because I don't, watch this. He didn't know exactly why he's being called. But whatever I'm being called for, I need to look like I'm supposed to be here. Come on now. Are you hearing me here? Thirdly, you got to represent the kingdom. Esther was, when she was queen, she was sent for and she was called, and her uncle Mordecai reminded her, you're not here for you. You're not here for you. You're here to deliver the Jews. This is bigger than you. Go tell John the Baptist again. John wants to know, why am I in prison? Why am I not being delivered? And Jesus said, go tell John again that the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Just go tell him that. Because John, you are about ministry, aren't you? And since you're about ministry, you know this just ain't about you, John. If other people being blessed, you should still be happy. You know, that's how you can really tell people about ministry. Because ministry is always about other people. Some people, they don't want to do ministry. They want to be a star. Amen. I was taught when I was coming along, you don't go to a service and sing and leave. See, you're not interested in ministry. You're interested in being a star. Ministry is always about other people. So when God puts your name, you will be sent for. Everybody say, I'll be sent for. I'm moving on now. So Joseph is sent for by the king. I have heard, how do you say it again? I've heard ear of thee. How does he say that? I have heard say of thee. People have been talking about you. And just as we often always talk about people talk about us negatively, you got to believe that God will orchestrate and people start positively talking about you. Look, Janae, say, somebody talking good about you right now. Hallelujah. Somebody talking good about you. Tell me how good you can cook. Talking about how good your hair look. They talking about how good you can do whatever, how good you can sing, how good you can administrate. Somebody talking good about you right now. That's how promotion comes, because God's arranging things that somebody's talking about you when you don't even know it. There's a young lady in our church, one of our young adults, who's a college admissions counselor. And I remember talking to her a week before, and she was going in for an interview as some type of administrative person. She was going to be just doing administrative stuff. And so when I checked with her next week, she said, Pastor, I didn't get that job. When I went in, they said, we got a better job for you. Now, I can assure you it's because of how she presented herself. So now she ends up being an admissions counselor traveling around the country to represent that university. Come on now. That means she had to present herself as someone who can represent us. So how you show up does matter, y'all. You will be sent for. Joseph was sent for even though it looked like he had been forgotten. He asked him. You ever ask people to do something, they just don't do it? He asked the butler, listen, when you get your job back, remember me. Have you ever been shocked by the people who will forget you? The people get to a particular place and they forget you. And they wouldn't be in that place if it wasn't for you. You helped them. You encouraged them. You prayed for them. You introduced them. And they forget about you. And that's what happened to Joseph. So he's probably thinking that he's forgotten about. But when he was sent for, even though it looked like he had been forgotten, he eventually was remembered and sent for. So when you are sent for and your name is in the wind, it's proof that you are not forgotten. Come on, say, I am not forgotten. So it's been 15 years since Joseph, as a teenager, has some people call it naivety. Some people call it pride, that he tells his brothers, I had this dream, man. And in his dream, all y'all are bowing down before me, talking about, hail Joseph, hail Joseph. They said, what's up with this dream? He said, go on with your dreams. He gave another, listen, y'all, I had another dream. Not only y'all was bowing down to me, saying, hell, Joseph, mom and daddy bowing down to me too. Then he tells his parents. His brothers are jealous or mad with him because of his dreams. It's a shame, y'all, but everybody can't handle your dreams. even though dreams are free and dreams haven't manifested anything and dreams haven't produced any money for you yet, everybody can't handle your dreams. You got to be careful who you even tell your dreams to. His brothers persecuted him, threw him to a pit, got ready to kill him if one of them didn't prevent it, but eventually sold him into slavery down into Egypt. They didn't know where he was and what had happened to him. So his brothers had forgotten him, but God had not forgotten him. God gave him a vision. God gave him a dream. And by now he's probably thinking, man, that dream will never happen. But if God's given you a dream, God will resurrect it. So Joseph's dream was 15 years old. It's been 2 years since he was asked of the butler to remember him, but God had not forgotten him. His brothers had forgotten, but God had not forgotten. Hebrews 6 and 10 reminds us, if we are faithful to God, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. See, the way I study the word, I read what it's saying so that I also understand what it's not saying. Or understand what it's not saying so I can understand what it's saying. In other words, here, in this case, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. That tells me it is unrighteous to forget people's work and labor of love. It is unrighteous to forget people's work and labor of love. He said, but God's not like that, which you have shown towards his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. For all of you who are serving in ministry and ministering to the saints and the ain'ts, ministering to the Hebrews and Hebrews and other brews, God doesn't forget what you do. And ultimately, y'all, you got to do it knowing that God doesn't forget. Because the reality, people, everybody's not righteous, and people will forget what you do. But God does not forget. Genesis 8 and 1, it tells us God remembered Noah. And because he remembered Noah, he made the waters abate. Genesis 19, 29, it says God remembered Abraham. And because he remembered Abraham, he spared Lot. Some things God does for other people just because of you.
Are you ready to have kingdom impact? Get ready to walk in a new level of authority with these powerful messages from Bishop Herbert Bailey, Dr. Marcia Bailey, and guest speakers, Dr. Bill Winston, Pastor Michael Todd, and Pastor Mark Baker. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for the Direction for Life Conference, Kingdom Impact. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.